Now, good. I'd like to begin by asking you about your grandparents. You would tell me something about your mother's parents first.
My mother was born in Montana. And I don't know where her father, her original father was born. But he was killed in an accident in a logging accident. And then her mother remarried, and they lived in Iowa for a long time. And there were four girls, and my grandmother was pregnant when her husband Duff was killed, and then she had twin boys, and then when she remarried, she had one more daughter.
What did her stepfather do?
He was a farmer, and they farmed in Nebraska. He had couple of sections of land there.
In Nebraska?
Nebraska. That's when I remember him. They came out. Nebraska was quite a barren area out there, and they farmed it by sections, which I think is what, 640 acres or something like that for a section. And that's where they lived when I knew them.
How old was your mother when they moved from Montana, do you remember?
My grandmother? I have no idea. My mother was born in Iowa, so I know that after Grandma married, she went back to Iowa.
Did your mother ever talk about what it was like growing up on the farms?
Only that part of where they lived was on, part of the land was on an Indian reservation, and she remembered the Indians. And I can remember my grandmother telling about traveling through the Indian country and how they just didn't like Indians.
I was going to ask you if your mother then played with the Indian children.
No, never. No, I remember mother telling one time about my aunt and she both wanting red shoes, and they got red shoes. And they went to town and they saw Indian girls with red shoes, and they never even wore the red shoes again. They were that very, very prejudiced against the Indians.
Did your grandmother work outside her home at
not,
all?
Not until after my grandfather, my mother's stepfather, died. Then she worked. She took on housekeeping jobs. That was the only thing available for women at that time, was housekeeping. And she was all over the Midwest. She went up to Minnesota and back to Nebraska. I mean, she was quite mobile. She didn't stay in one place too long.
How old were her children when they
were? Now, my step-grandfather lived until I was in my teens. So all the kids were married and grown before she ever had to go out and work.
What about after her first husband died and before she remarried?
It couldn't have been too long because I don't really remember how long it was. I know she was about 6 months pregnant, and then the twins were born, and there wasn't too many years between the twins and my aunt. They seems to me as if the pioneer women remarried very rapidly. They didn't take in a year's mourning or anything like that. And what she did to support these kids in between times, I have no idea. She never left, never talked about it.
What do you remember about your grandmother as a child and you spending time with her?
I used to love to go spend time with her. My my brother and I, my younger brother and I, we used to go over and spend quite a bit of time with her. She was a large woman. She was close to 6 foot tall, broad-shouldered. I mean, she was a very, very large woman. And she was a very gentle woman. And we moved, we went on to Michigan, back to Michigan when I was 5. So I didn't have too many years that I was around my grandmother.
What was your grandfather like?
Very quiet. He was gentle, very gentle with us kids and all like that, but he was a very quiet. He worked, did his work, but that was... He didn't show a lot of affection for people, but he was good. He was very good to all the children, all the stepchildren that he had, he took, adopted, not adopted, that he helped raise. And they considered him his, their father. I mean, he was a very good man.
What about your father's parents?
They, I remember much more because I was in my teens when they died. They were farmers in Nebraska when I remembered them. Or rather, they had been farmers. My grandfather had retired and moved into town and ran a grain elevator.
In what town?
In Wayne, Nebraska. And I remember going and spending time with them. And at that time, I also had a great-grandmother and great-grandfather that lived in Wayne. And my father had a younger brother that was, well, quite a bit younger than the rest of the family, and then he and his two sisters. And when I got homesick, my uncle took me home, but we went by his grandmother's house. And I can remember this little house up on a high embankment, a long flight of steps up to my great-grandmother's. And my great-grandfather was a Civil War veteran.
Did he ever talk about that?
I don't remember ever talking to him. He was in the Army about a year, year and a half. And I don't ever remember talking to them. I just remember them. I think I remember more of them from the pictures we have. But I did remember stopping there that one time so my uncle could see his grandmother, which I thought at the time very odd that he should have a grandmother. I had grandmothers, but he shouldn't have grandmothers. And then by the time of when I was, what, 6, we moved to Michigan.
Do you remember your father talking about growing up on the farm?
Oh, in a way, my father left home quite young. I say young, he was in his 18 or 19. His parents were quite religious. Oh dear.
Mildred, I'd asked you about what it was like for your father to grow up on the farm, and you'd said that he left fairly
well,
young.
Well, they farmed. He went through the 8th grade, and he had decided he was going to be a school teacher. And he was going to the, at that time, 8th grade, and then a year at the county normals was all you had to have for school teachers. So he was going to the county normal, and they sent him out to substitute. And he had 2 or 3 days as a substitute teacher, and he decided school teaching wasn't his thing, so he dropped that. And his parents were quite religious, and they did not approve of doing anything except being quiet on Sunday and reading your Bible and this and that. And Dad liked baseball, and baseball was just coming in. They didn't even want him to umpire. So Dad left home when he was about 18, 19, and took off for the Dakotas and spent a couple of years on the range as a cowboy. And I don't know when he came back, but he and my mother were married. Oh, gosh. I won't even tell you when. Mother was, my mother is still alive. She's 90. She was 19 when she was married. But they were living in Iowa. Well, they went to Iowa when they were married.
Did they meet in Nebraska?
I have no idea where they met. The families both lived in Nebraska. So I imagine that was where it was. They never talked about it. Those were personal things that they didn't talk about. So I do know that they were married in Sioux City, Iowa. But that's about all I ever found out about it.
Did your father just have the one brother?
Yes, one brother and two sisters. The older sister used to take organ lessons. And then she was supposed to teach the younger sister. And then my father, after having listened to them mangle the lesson, would come along and play it by ear. And he could pick up a violin, he could pick up a harmonica, he could pick up just about any casual instrument and play. He was very talented. He was a very astute and very, for an eighth grade education, my father was a very brilliant man.
What did he do for a living when they were first married?
They farmed. And then they came to California, where they had two boys back there. And they came to California in late 1911. And then my one brother and I were born here. And my mother was so homesick for Nebraska, she went back there. She took four of us kids on the train and went back. And then I had another brother born back there in Nebraska.
What made them decide to come to California in the first place?
It's a place to go. And shortly after that, my grandparents moved out here.
Where did they settle in California?
San Pedro. I was born in Gardena. My one brother was born in San Pedro, and I was older than he. I was born in Gardena, and then they moved to San Pedro. And my grandparents lived on 20th Street in San Pedro, right where you could see the harbor right from their front yard.
What did your father do then?
Oh, he did many things. He was a plumber for a while, and he worked for the county down Vermont. One of the streets that run, roads that run all the way to San Pedro, he helped plant a whole row of eucalyptus trees down there. They're huge now. Trunks like this, 60 feet high. And things were rough. He went out in the, out around Lancaster, worked on a ranch out there. I mean, he did many things. Never really, I say he was a brilliant man. He was, he could do anything. And he worked in construction work, road jobs, things like that.
What were your parents' names?
My father's was Earl Clifford Gamble, and my mother was Alpha Maud McRoberts. She didn't like Alpha, she dropped it. She goes by Maud all the time, which tickled my kids half to death. They say that's a name for a mule.
When were you born then?
1913.
You remember hearing stories about your birth, where you were born, like in a hospital or at home?
Oh, I was born. I was born at home. Where Vermont and Gardena Boulevard cross, back by the Methodist Church. There was a little brown and white bungalow back there where my folks lived. And the little bungalow was there until a few years ago. Now it's an apartment house. I can remember when I came back to California and brought my kids out here. I took them over there and showed them the house. And all of a sudden, just, gee whiz, I thought you were born in the log cabin. I had a wise dad. It was all Japanese gardens around there. I mean, there was a lot of Japanese in the area at that time. And they had strawberry patches. The gambling halls weren't there yet. It was more or less truck gardens.
How old were you when your mother took you back to Nebraska?
About three.
And how long did you stay there?
Oh, we were there only a short time. We went just a few months. We went on back. We went to Michigan then. And that's where my father did the construction work. Worked on they were just, Michigan was the first state that put in an overall highway system. And they were very busy back there paving roads. And Dad worked years paving roads back there. I think that's where he inhaled so much concrete dust. He got emphysema so badly.
You lived then in Michigan for?
I lived in Michigan until I was 30 years old. I went to school there, graduated in 31, married in 31, and started my family there.
What part of Michigan?
Pontiac.
Can you describe for me the house that you grew up in?
There were many houses. No, it was a small house. I mean, I had just a basic house, two bedrooms, bath, living dining room combination, kitchen. They built small homes, very small homes at that time. In Michigan, you have a full basement furnace. And they had sectioned off the basement, and that's my brothers slept down in the basement. I had two brothers at home. The youngest brother had died. There were five of us. The youngest brother died, and the older brother married, so that the two middle brothers went down. They lived in the basement.
What did your younger brother die of?
There, yeah. Very sudden. He was sick like 3 days.
How old was he?
Six. Mm. It's weird to go back to Pontiac now because they've torn the town down. They've moved the courthouse out of town and the whole town has changed. I mean, everything, all the stores are gone. It's no town there. It's all out in shopping malls all the way around, in the shopping belt around the town. They even closed the high school and built a new high school out of town. And when I lived there, there were very few. Well, they were bringing in Mexicans from work in the factories. The out of factories. There weren't that many blacks in the area. There were a few, but not many. And now the whole town is black and Mexican. And the whites are all out, all gone.
Are there still auto factories?
Pontiac plant, yes, and General Motors has a truck factory there.
Did your father ever work in the auto?
No, but Mother did. Mother worked in one of the foundries. Helped make, I don't know what it was, sand core that they made the motor blocks from.
When did she go to work?
Right after my youngest brother died, 1924. It's one of those things, she couldn't stay at home anymore. She couldn't stay in the house. She had to get out.
Did that have an effect on the rest of the year that was still at home?
Well, it left a very empty spot. I mean, I was 12 at the time. I can remember looking for him, always. He was my boy. It was funny, when I came home from school the day he was born, I informed my mother that if she'd had a girl, I'd help take care of it. But as long as she had a boy, she could do it herself. And a couple of weeks later, I ignored him totally for 2 or 3 weeks. And one day I came in and he was crying, and I said, well, if nobody else would take care of that kid, I suppose I had to. I was the only girl with the four boys, and I guess I must have been quite obnoxious at times. Not spoiled by a long ways, but from then on he was my boy, and wherever I went, he went. So when he died, it left a huge empty spot in my life. I would see little white-haired boys on the street, and I would follow them around looking for my brother. I just couldn't accept the fact that I didn't have any brother anymore. It was awfully hard to accept it.
Before he was born, were you aware that your mother was pregnant?
No, the clothes they wore then didn't show. I mean, full, long full dresses and things, it didn't show much. And of course I was all excited. That was my first year of school, and we walked a good mile, over a mile to school, and which we knew nothing about. And they didn't tell you things like that. You just came home, and if she was still in labor, why, the neighbors took you off and brought you back when things were over, kept you overnight. The next day you came home, and Mom had a new baby. And where we lived was like 14 miles out of town. They didn't call doctors. They just had the neighbor ladies came in. Then they hire a girl, one of the neighbor girls, to come and help with the housework for a week or two. That was it. I mean, having children was no big problem at that time. Just kept it as a surprise.
You said you lived 14 miles out of town. What was it, a community that you lived in, or?
No, farms were scattered that far. Our nearest neighbor was a mile away.
So you lived on a farm then?
Yes.
What kinds of things did the farm produce?
Mostly wheat. And that was just before World War I. And Dad had, I don't know how much land he had. He had a big farm. And they had to, on orders from the government. They had to thresh all the wheat that was raised, that was planted. And there weren't granaries enough to store the wheat. They couldn't get use it all. So after they hired men to thresh the wheat and all like that, why, if you hadn't gotten your granary ahead of time, you stacked it and left it in the field. Just huge stacks of threshed wheat. And many farmers went broke and lost their farms. That's what happened to my father. That was when we went on to Michigan. We had to sell the farm, pay off the debts that were accumulated from buying all the equipment and paying the men and like that.
So then you moved into town?
We moved to Michigan.
And where was the?
In Portland.
Portland, Oregon?
No, Portland, Michigan.
Portland, Michigan.
And it was just a small town. Then my father took a job in, at first he went in, worked for the, he was an engineer in the state prison. He ran the heating system, big furnaces of steam heat. And he worked up there for a year and a half or something like that, but that was rough because he was gone. He'd only be home every other weekend or something like that. Mother didn't like that at all. So then that's when he went into the construction work.
And you were living in Pontiac then?
We went to Pontiac while he was working in the construction. And we lived there for time I was 6 until I was 18, about 12 years.
What was discipline like in your house when you were growing up?
Well, you were quiet. Dad didn't like a lot of noise in the house, and he was very strict. I wasn't allowed to date except on Friday nights or Saturday nights, and curfew was early. I mean, like 10:30, 11 o'clock at the latest. And if you didn't get home on time, you were grounded for some time. He was very strict. And if you got too boisterous and too noisy in the house, all he did was just lower his paper and look at you, and you knew better. You knew better than make any more noise. He was strict.
What kinds of things would you get in trouble for?
Well, I'll tell you frankly, you didn't backtalk. You didn't tell lies. You walk a pretty straight and narrow line. Dad was very strict. And you didn't play mom against dad. If you wanted to do something and you went to one and they said no and you went to the other one, he'd say, did you say ask mom first? What did she say? Well, if she said no, why ask me? You just didn't get to play one against the other.